by two interviewing Mr. Jack Morris.
Whatever is necessary to teach people to swim is what's to be done. And it can be a very, very tiny item. It can be just climbing down the first step of the pool, which might represent a big item to some people. To other people, it might not be so big. But it's all relative, and you build one step on the other. And you can't build the step number two until you build step number one. Otherwise, the whole thing will cave in. People will get frustrated. And worse than that, they'll get a little frightened. And that has to be avoided. As I said, the people have to be made very comfortable, especially in learning a sport like swimming.
In teaching swimming, you become aware early on, I'm sure, about the students who can be truly competitive. Do you develop them specifically for competition?
The suggestion can be made to that type of person that you discern that character attribute in, that they could properly, or they do have some of the tools that could make them a competitive swimmer. However, the election has to really, in fact, come from that person themselves. Because first of all, some people are competitive at a given time of their life in athletic activity, and not so much a little bit later. By a little bit later, it might be in another year, they get other interests. And then again, some children or some people show no athletic ability at all. They show no instinct for competition. However, when they get a little older and they develop, they're changed too. And they may, at that time, suddenly become very interested. And so, as I said, you got to wait for that readiness to show up. When that readiness shows up, then you exploit a little bit.
You direct them, then?
Yes.
Now, what sort of competition is available for students?
There are all levels of competition. It's just like, for example, in baseball or football, where the children start out in grade school, and then as a recreational activity, and they get in leagues that are formed. And then they go on to the high school team, and then the college team, and to the Olympic Games. And today there are masters clubs in which people who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s, even older, compete on a regular basis.
Is it a national?
It's local. It begins at the local level, goes to sectional and national and international.
What sort of competition were you in?
Well, I was in the club competition for the I represented the Irene Kaufman Settlement. We swam against other clubs, like the YMCAs, the Settlement Houses. Then I swam in the high school, went on and swam in college, also swam for the Armed Forces team.
Any special awards or?
Well, I won the Armed Forces Championship when I was in the Army. I was captain of the Shenley High School team. I was elected to the Sports Hall of Fame, Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. And I was elected to the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. I was chairman, American Red Cross committee, for swimming committee for people with handicaps.
That's great.
Do your children swim?
Yes. Our two children swim for exercise and conditioning.
You consider swimming a very good exercise for health reasons, don't you?
Oh, yes. Swimming activity is generally considered nationally and worldwide as a kind of an activity.
And today you find many problems with older people, and they are told to swim, but many of them have never learned to swim. What do you suggest for them?
My suggestion is for those people is to get in the water and take some swimming lessons and learn some fundamentals so that they can be mobile in the water. You know, a lot of the swimming pools today eliminate the one factor that used to be in the fore, and that is the swimming pools today are being built all shallow so that people can't swim in deep water or for psychological reasons would be frightened or for physiological reasons or would not be permitted to go into deep water on account of stress situations. They can swim just as if they were great swimmers and get the exercise and the benefit. The pool here, for example, at the Irene or at the JCC is all shallow. The deepest part is 4 feet. People who normally would not go swimming at all on account of the depth of the water and kind of the psychological situation there can go swimming just as if they had no problem at all. And they really don't need the expertise to get the benefit of the activity since the water is shallow.
Many people like me who are afraid of water could still learn to swim well enough?
Oh, yes. Certainly, that's why you have a tremendous group of older people now using the swimming pools here that normally would never use it if the water was deep.
I come for the exercises.
Yes.
But my face doesn't get better.
But that does not mean that older people generally can't learn to swim at any age and swim in areas where the water is deep. But that since the water isn't deep anymore, that encompasses a much, much greater proportion of the population.
They do have private instructors.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. Well, with the number of people who use the pool, you wonder when they get time to teach there.
Well, they have selected times when classes are taught on the schedule. And there are two pools, so that one pool can be used for training and teaching, and the other pool can be used for recreational and conditioning swimming.
Right now, what kinds of things do you do aside from the teaching and the swimming? Recreational kinds of things with Francis and family and so forth.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm very, very busy, so we really don't have a lot of time to be too much recreational. I have a schedule that goes 7 days a week, all day and all evening. And so we get a chance once in a while to travel to see our children and our grandchildren. We keep very busy.
Yes.
Is your wife a full-time docent at the zoo?
Yes.
And what particular phase does she work with?
Well, I understand she works with all the phases. She takes tours. She travels to different schools with some of the animals and gives lectures. She organizes classes for people who want to be docents.
She's really a senior staff member there.
Well, when I look at her, I don't consider her to be that senior. I think the other people were senior.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Have you ever been involved in any political endeavors in the city?
The political endeavors that I was involved in mainly was when I was very young and I wanted to get a job as a lifeguard for the city of Pittsburgh. I had to go find my ward chairman to get him to put the okay in with the Democratic Party, which he always did for me.
That's very direct.
Yes, and I, yes, and I always tried to support candidates in the various political jobs here in town, one way or the other, by lending my support, such as it was. I always felt that Cyril Wecht was a magnificent person to do the work he was doing, and so I supported him.
When you think back, is there anything you would do differently?
I would have spent more time with my children. You know, we were so busy in those days that as long as things were floating on an even keel and the kids were on a direct line to where everybody was going, namely high school, college, and profession, we went along with all that.
Did they have any hobbies as they were growing up?
My son Daniel was a broadcaster for the traffic group. He got himself the job of broadcasting how the traffic was going in the morning.
Well, how about that?
Did he have any training?
No, he just went down and somehow got that job. I tried to get him a job. He didn't care for the job I got him, so he got that one. My son, Michael, was musical. He liked to play the guitar. And he played in bands around the area.
In your activities along the way, did you ever run into what you thought might be anti-Semitism?
Oh, yes. I ran into that many, many times. And I always tried to be very positive about that. I once took a test for a job in a bank, and the fellow who was administering the test, who was an official of the bank, happened to be a friend of mine, and when we bumped into each other at the test, the end of the test, he told me, he says, "Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get this job." And he told me why, of course, and so I said, okay, went somewhere else. I just didn't dwell on it or labor on it. That specifically was an item. The coach at the University of Pittsburgh by his activity and his actions and his speech was anti-Semitic, but he had four Jews on his team, and the reason he had them on his team is he needed them. They were the only ones available at the time. So we had that kind of a live and let live arrangement. I was drafted into the Army into a National Guard organization from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That organization was composed of soldiers who had a common membership in the German-American Bund, which was located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was probably the only Jew in the battalion. The battalion consisted of about 1,000 men.
How did you get in there?
It was the luck of the draw, the draft. They needed some soldiers, and so they said, you're in that battalion. I was probably one of the only college people in that outfit.
How'd it go?
I had probably one of the highest IQs. The reason all this was very important was because when a new soldier was brought into the outfit, the company headquarters people looked over his application to see who he was and what he was, what his background was, whether he was German, whether he was a Bundist, or whether somehow here was a Jew.
And there so are I ways was, of finding out.
Oh, yeah, so I was quite an item in that battalion. But I hung on for 4 years.
Were there many overt incidents?
Well, there were a lot of them. But somehow the Inspector General, United States Army, kept a real close watch on what was going on. And they kept that down to a minimum officially.
Do you find much of it in today's world?
No.
In your line?
No. For one reason, I've been very successful in a field that generally doesn't have people who are Jewish. As a matter of fact, very, very few. And I was able to become one of the top people in the activity.
So, in other words, you're an authority in your particular field.
I would say that I am. One reason I'm an authority is because I've been around so long. A lot of people have fallen by the wayside who may or may not have been more expert than I.
What are you doing right now? What are your responsibilities and your activities?
I thought you were asking me what I was doing correctly now.
I'm sure whatever you're doing right.
Well, right now, you know, I'm on several faculties, and I teach at several different pools.
For example?
I'm an aquatics consultant at the Pittsburgh Rehabilitation Institute. I'm a private swimming teacher for the Jewish Community Center. I'm on the staff at the City Club. And I teach at private pools. I also am on the staff at the PAA.
So you teach at private pools, what do you mean by that?
Home pools, I'm sorry.
Hmm?
Home.
Home pools.
Are there enough hours in the day for you?
No, I do have a heavy schedule. Really.
Well, you left something out because I called you at the yeshiva.
Oh, I forgot the yeshiva.
Yeah.
That's right. I teach at the yeshiva, the good old yeshiva.
Oh, they have a swimming pool.
Swimming pool, yeah. I knew I forgot. I was overlooking something.
I knew. But I remember you lived at Farragut Street. So
right,
that's
The feeling is that swimming is a tremendous boost for handicapped people.
That's right. The reason it's a boost for handicapped people is that there's very little gravity when you're swimming as compared to when you're walking. The gravity sometimes is more stressful on the blood system, the vascular system, the heart, whereas when you get in the water, the pressure is taken off and you're horizontal, and not only that, you weigh less, so you can move easier. And the people with joint problems, muscle problems, can move easier. Why? Because there's not the pressure of gravity on the joints. Not only that, there's probably a psychological, I'm sure there's a psychological situation there. When you're floating in water, that there's less stress, there's not so much interruptions.
Like a release.
Like a release, yes. And chemically, I think changes take place that tend to make the person feel a lot better. And so all those things add up, and then the person who learns to swim gets a big ego trip out of it to begin with. Tremendous.
Very important.
Tremendous thing. It's just like someone who, I remember when I was a little fella, I used to think if I could only drive a car, I'd be so happy. Or if I could only swim, I'd be so happy. Those things are big ego things, very, very important.
If you had to pick out something, what do you view as your most significant contribution, most significant success?
Well, professionally, the prize that I valued the most was when I was named to be the coach of the team from the United States that competed in the Israeli Olympic Games.
Hmm. When was that?
1967. I better make it 68. That was after the war. And so I was able to get over there just after the war and see the change.
Were you in Israel?
No, that's where the games were, in Israel.
You took the United States team there.
Correct.
That's tremendous.
And then that, of course, was a big international event. And came at a time when everybody was very, very excited about Israel, which they're still excited about.
But there's too much worry with the excitement today.
Well, there's lots of worry. But nevertheless, I think Israel is very, very viable.
Oh, no question about that. I think that Dole would like to have eaten his words.
Oh. Yes, yes. I think he was pandering to some special interest.
Anything else you would like to tell us about yourself, your family?
Well, I'd like to continue doing what I am doing for a long, long time.
Oh, please God.
Great.
Anything else you can think of? You've covered everything.
I think so. I think it's been wonderful.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it very much.
It was lots of fun talking to you ladies. And I'll think about all this now. A lot more than I would if you hadn't got me here.
Well, it's nice to reflect.
Oh, yes.
And especially when you've had so many wonderful successes.
Yes, I've been very, very lucky that way.
I think it's wonderful to know that you have created positively in directing people's lives. I think that's very important.
Yes.
Let me add to that. And, I learned a lot about teaching, watching you, and used it, and knew that I was using your teaching techniques. Always positive reinforcement. It was wonderful. My kids didn't do a thing right, and you kept saying, good, I can see. Always positive.
There was something good in what they did. And we had to extract that and
yes,
use it.
Yes, and you did. You would point it out so they knew what it was. But it was you always saw and expressed the positive.
Yeah, there were never any failures. We could not brook failure because that wouldn't be a way to be successful. To be a winner.
The presence of readiness. You never moved to the second step without having accomplished your first step. And I tried very hard to do that in my teaching also. Aware that I was using your teaching.
Well, that's nice. That's
wonderful.
Very nice.
So your influence was
very good.
In
very
different
positive.
Areas.
than you suspected.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
And it was lots of fun.